What's up? Yeah, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis 26. Oh, you know, actually, that was, you know, I got you, dude. He was good. I got, just turn your Bible. Genesis 26. We're going to look at verse 18. And this morning, we're talking about unclogging wells. Ask your neighbor, do you have that plunger I needed? Do you have? No, don't do that. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Genesis 26, verse 18 says, Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he called them by the names which his father had called them. Everyone say, boom. I want to read that again. Read it again, Genesis 26, 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. I don't have a whole lot of time to go into the context of that, but here's what I feel what the Lord is doing with our lives this morning. I feel like there is people in the room that there is a season where you felt like the river was flowing, so to speak. You felt like things were just moving. The well was springing up. There's a river of life flowing out of you. It's making the lame to walk and the blind to see. In other words, a lot. I mean, that could physically, that could like specifically be happening, but metaphorically as well. That there, your life was just grooving, man. It was just going. And then something came along, and it was just like what happened. The Philistines had stopped up the well. I feel like some of us, there's stuff that came along, whether it was like a religious spirit that, you know, that tried to stop, push you down, or there was bitterness and opportunity for unforgiveness, and I feel like some of us actually got stopped up. It could have been whatever other things, you can fill in the blanks, but this is what I feel from the Lord, that there was a time when we were flowing, but then somehow the wells got clogged up. And I feel like the Lord, like even in our own personal lives, we felt fruitful, but I feel like that the Lord this morning actually wants to unstop the wells in our lives. He wants to let it flow again. He wants to take the limitations off, where it's almost like the well within you is like coming up against hitting some kind of roof, but the Lord just wants to take the lid off and actually allow you to come and flow again. Come on, somebody. I feel like the Lord, this is what the Lord put on my heart. And the same thing happened for Isaac and his father Abraham. After Abraham died, there is like a if I would summarize this context, Abraham made a covenant with the commander of the king of the Philistines of Gerar, and his name was Abimelech. And they had this covenant because they were arguing over the well. And so Abraham said, here's the deal. Here's how you know it's my well. We're going to make a covenant right here. I'm going to give you 7 lambs, and we're going to cut. This is going to be a covenant right here. He gives them the 7 lambs, and they name the well Beersheba, which means well of the 7. And it's also a play on words, because the same word, it could mean well of the oath, well of the 7, well of the oath, where they did this sacrifice. So they knew it was Abraham's well. Well, when Abraham died, they said, well, homeboy's gone. I'm going to just stuff this thing back up. And what the reality is sometimes your friends can become your frenemies. You know what I'm talking about? And the people you once trusted are actually the ones who turn against you, and they're the ones stopping up the flow. You're like, well, wait a second. I thought we were friends. And you have an opportunity in that moment to let it get clogged up, or to surrender to the flow of the Holy Ghost and start forgiving and start blessing people. And all of a sudden, spring up, oh well, within my soul. And all of a sudden, the thing starts to come alive, and you come alive again because you let it go. Ah. That's what happened with Isaac. There's a whole context of this story, like I was saying, but this is what he landed back. That's why it said he called him the same names that his father called him, because the well was stopped up, then they dug back up the well. And the Bible said that he was prospering. The Bible said that Isaac began to prosper, and he was prospering until he became very prosperous. That's what the Bible and herds and sheep, and that's a lot of prosperity. And it looked like for Isaac, it looked like a lot of cattle and herds and sheep and goats and all this kind of stuff. It was amazing. But how many of you know when you have all that kind of cattle living, you know, you're in charge of it, you need water to sustain them. And he needed that well to sustain the life and to sustain the blessing of God on his life. And how many of you know the enemy's always going to come and try to stop the flow of the blessing of God in your life and try to choke off the water source, to try to cut off the line. And the reality is we actually, oh, this is good, man. We actually have the ability and the responsibility to keep our well within us springing up. Oh, we can't sit there and be like, well, they did this. You'd be like, bro, it's your well. You actually are responsible. What am I talking about? The Bible actually says that we have a well within us and a river flowing out of us. That we have a well within us. The well within us is for you. And the river flowing out of us is for the world around you. Jesus said this in John 4, verse 14, and actually 13 and 14. He's speaking with the woman at the well. And this is what he says. It says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Someone say never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, I love that line. He said, never thirst. When we come to Jesus and we start receiving of his gift of eternal life and his forgiveness of sins, and we get what the Bible calls being born again, the Bible, Jesus is saying this, that the well within us starts springing up. And what I love about this is that he said, you will never thirst again. It doesn't mean you'll never be thirsty again. You'll just never thirst for another source again. Yeah. Oh, that was good, man. You'll never have to find another source. It's not that the people won't get thirsty again. It's just that you found the source of living water. You found all that your heart ever desired in the person of Jesus. You don't have to look anymore. You don't have to look. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 16, that God opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. How many know Jesus, his name is the desire of the nations. And when you taste of him, you finally find the one that your heart belongs to. Like Song of Solomon, the woman is looking for her husband, and she says, all night long, I've looked for and searched for the one my heart loves. Oh, and when you found him, you don't have to go anywhere. It's be like, well, don't you want to like do some studying on world religions and understand all these other things? Be like, why? I already found the best thing in the world. My one yes to Jesus says no to everybody else because he already satisfied the need in me, and everyone else can't because I already found what I need. How many of you know that it's illegal for Christians to sing, I still haven't found may you what I'm aiming. What you mean, man? You found Jesus. He's the only person who can satisfy. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You'll never have to look any other options. And it's illegal for us to sing that song if you've actually tasted of Jesus and the living water. Oh, you don't have any other options anymore. I have no options. I don't have a backup plan. If Jesus doesn't work, then I don't have any other option. I just know he works. I have no other option. I have no other, you know, here's a backup plan, B, C. I don't have any of those. This all, I forsook it at the cross when I said yes to Jesus. He made himself so real to me. And, oh, it's like that Leland song. I never found a love like this before. I never felt a touch like this before. What can I do? And when you get this well within you, the Bible says it's this satisfying, oh, this everlasting life welling up. And it's like David said, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else. I got Jesus, man. Come on, man. When I said yes to my wife, I said no to every other girl on the planet. I don't need anything else. I don't, you know, you with me on this? Because I found everything I needed. And this is the thing. In the person of Jesus, this well represents our relationship, our friendship with Jesus, man. This well represents the life that he gives us. Why does it say the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord? When we accept that, it's not just forgiveness of sins and we'll go to heaven one day. It's right now. Eternal life starts when you accept Jesus. Jesus said eternal life is actually knowing God. And so this well represents a relationship with God that satisfies like none other. It's the peace with God. And how many understand that the enemy is going to try to come in and wreck your peace with God so you can't feel alive on the inside? And when you don't feel alive on the inside, people don't experience you alive on the outside. You know what I'm talking about. Don't elbow the person next to you. I'm just saying it's for real. When you lose your peace with God, it ruins every other area. Because how many understand that you cannot calm the storm on the outside if the storm is raging on the inside? That's how come Jesus could sleep in the middle of a life-threatening storm and just lay there on the cushion in the boat while all the disciples are freaking out, because he had peace on the inside. You can't calm the storm on the outside if the storm isn't calm on the inside. But when you have peace with God, oh, the well is springing up and you can tell storms to stop because you're giving them what you already have with God. Come on, somebody. This is good word, man. This is relationship with Jesus. This is what relationship with Jesus does. It allows peace with you and God to happen, and peace within yourself, because you know Daddy loves you. And that's what we need, man. This is what the world needs around us. But how many of y'all realize that, like, the Jesus gives us all this stuff? It's like wells in the natural are bringing refreshing, and they're bringing hydration and quenching things, and they're essential to life. But this is what Jesus does for us spiritually. And Isaiah even prophesied about this in chapter 12, verse 3. He said, "You will with joy draw water from the wells of salvation." It's the relationship, the satisfying relationship that we have with Jesus. And the enemy is going to try to come and clog up that well so you do not feel alive on the inside. I want to tell you this, that you will never feel more alive than what Jesus said in John 10, springing up and the rivers of living water are flowing out of you. You'll never feel more alive. This is what Jesus said in John 10:10. You know this verse. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and life more abundantly. I love the New Living Translation. It says that I came that they would have a rich and satisfying life. Ooh. Like, why did Jesus come? To tell us what to do and what not to do? No. Why did Jesus come? To make my life boring and religious. What are you talking about, man? If you want the words of Jesus, John 10 said he came to give you a rich and satisfying life. And I'm telling you the truth today. I'm telling you the key to John 10:10, that you will never feel more alive than when the well within you is springing up and the rivers of living water are gushing out of you and you are being a blessing everywhere you go. You'll never feel more alive. You'll never feel more alive than when you're being a blessing to people, regardless of your, like, you know, bad day and your bad hair day, and you woke up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever you want to fill in the blanks. Like, I got this going on. I got this going on. This person don't like me. This person, the cat even peed on the carpet before I left. All this stuff is freaking me out. And then all of a sudden you go out and say, and the Lord said, "Hey, can you go over to that person and pay for their meal?" Oh, and the river starts flowing out of you, and all of a sudden the gushing of the rivers of living water just push out all the debris, and I feel alive again. And that's that rich, satisfying life. That's what Jesus does for us, man. And I love his heart, because he said, "This is why I came. This is why I came." I love people so much that I couldn't handle. Like I want to tell you this, life was never meant to live depressed. Life was never meant to live under the circumstance. Life was never meant to live tormented by fear and anxiety and struggles. And life was never meant to live with night terrors and all these type of things. Life was never meant to live with sickness and disease, like riddling people's lives. Life was never meant that. And Jesus, because he loved the people so much, he said, "This is why I'm coming, that every person could have a rich and satisfying life." Oh, can you feel the heart of God in this, man? This is for everybody. This isn't just for the people who are in the church today. This is for the people that we don't even like to associate with because we don't agree with their viewpoints. Come on, you all remember when the woman at the well, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and she was surprised that he was talking to her, a Jewish man speaking to a Samaritan woman. Why? In the parentheses, it says, "For Jews, do not associate with Samaritans." How many of y'all realize it could be said today, "For Christians, do not associate with"? You fill in the blanks, man. I'm telling you, this is the heart of God, and you got to hear me today. This is actually who you are. I'm telling you who you are today. You are the source that God has put on the earth to release life and hope and goodness everywhere you go. Come on, Jews did not associate with Samaritans, and some people can say about us, Christians do not associate with the homosexual community. Christians do not associate with Muslims. Christians do not associate with Hillary. Christian, you know, whatever it is. And for Trump, for that matter, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know if there is a dividing line, you know what I'm saying? But the reality is this, Jesus came on the scene to blow up all of that and then say, I came for everyone that they would have a rich and satisfying life. Oh, and when you start thinking like Jesus, all of a sudden your prejudice starts going out the window. It's like, because the prejudice puts a cap on your well and a dam for your river, and you're all constipated, and it's like, we got constipated Christians going around writing Facebook posts and writing blogs about why the world's going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. And you can go to YouTube comments. YouTube comments are the nastiest. But like any kind of social media, Christian people who are supposed to have a well of life inside of them and a fountain of living water flowing out, they're actually the ones that sometimes perpetuate the complaining and the criticism and the critical spirit and the judgmental heart. And all of a sudden people go like, I don't want to go to that church. I don't go to that church. They're going to treat me like that. Yeah. Jesus came so that everyone could have a rich and satisfying life. Man, I felt the heart of God on this. I was praying last night going like, oh my gosh, you are better. You are so much better than I've ever imagined. You actually, when you think about people, you actually think the very best every single time you think about us, which is more than the grains of sand on the seashore. Every single time that you think about us, you're thinking the very best for us. And when you thought about us, you were so enraptured with love that you chose us before the foundation of the world. And Jesus told us that you loved him before the foundation of the world, and you love us with the same love that you love Jesus with. So that means every time God thinks about me, he's thinking really, really good things. And and how many times have you think about me? He's thinking about me more than the sands outnumber the grains on the seashore. He's thinking about me that much. And every time he thought about me, he's like, oh, man, I love this guy. And I'm going to choose him before the foundation of the world. And I love him with the same love that I love Jesus. That's not just for church people. That's for the most offensive person you could think about. Oh. Come on, man. And if the well's not springing up within you and the river's not flowing out of you, it's hard to see that. Because you got constipated. Touch your neighbor and say, God wants to make you regular. Come on, touch your neighbor. Tell him, God wants to make you regular. Where is that fiber? Where? Regular, be loose. No. Let's look at the river. Jesus said, I already talked about the river, but let's look at what the scripture said. Jesus said in John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And now he tells us what the river is, verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Woo! Now we know what the water is. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the very personhood of God coming inside of you. Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a cosmic force. It's the very personhood of God coming inside of you. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will spring up within you and flow without, come out of you. You know what I'm saying? This is amazing. This is the nature of God coming inside of you. Whew. Look at this. Ezekiel prophesied about this in Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. Someone say water. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. This is what he said. He said it was flowing under the threshold. All Ezekiel saw was the doorway, and he saw the river coming out. And this is what it says in verse 2. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the side. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He takes him out 1,000 cubits, and he was in ankle deep. He takes him out another 1,000 cubits, and he was in knee deep. He takes him out another 1,000 cubits, and he was waist deep. And then he takes him out another, and then it was too much. He was just floating in the river, you know what I'm saying? And then he takes him back to the shore, and then he says this in verse 6, "Son of man, have you seen this?" He's like, are you perceiving this right now? "Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley.'" Come on, somebody. It goes even to the lowest places and enters the sea. This in context, you can see this in another translation, is the Dead Sea. It says, so the living water is going to the Dead Sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are what? There's healing in the water. This is supernatural water. "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go," someone say wherever. Yeah. So wherever the rivers go, will live. And check this out. "There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." Fish and fishermen represent evangelism and souls. That's why Jesus said, "You will become a fisher of men." And so when you see this happening, he's talking about souls coming into the kingdom. And we talk about fishermen, he's talking about evangelists. "It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Gleim, and they will be places for spreading their nets." I want to jump down to verse 12. "Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail." Come on. "They will bear fruit every month because the water they get, where's it flowing from? The sanctuary." That's supernatural. "Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine." Come on, man. This is what the river produces. Remember every time I'm saying this, I'm talking about you today. I'm talking about you're the breaking point of this stuff. This is crazy because Ezekiel, he saw it, but he didn't see as much as what John saw. And John the Apostle saw this in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 3. "He showed me," this is the picture of heaven, "he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from," where? "The throne of God and the Lamb." This is crazy because Ezekiel only saw it coming from the sanctuary and under the threshold. How many of y'all realize Jesus paid the price, the veil was torn? John got to see a little further than Ezekiel. Come on, somebody. And he saw it came from the throne and the throne of God and of the Lamb. "In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life." Sounds familiar. "Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month." That's the same thing Ezekiel saw. "The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse." That's so good, man. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Psalm 46:4 says, "There is a river who make glad the streams, the city of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." Psalm 36 says, "They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from your river of pleasures. For with you," verse 9, "is the fountain of life." Wherever and whenever the river is flowing, life is happening. What am I saying to you today? I'm telling you, this is a picture of you and what you carry. I'm telling you, this is, the Bible said that wherever the river flowed, it brought life. The river flowed into the Dead Sea, and the life that is stronger than death brought healing and refreshment. Remember, I'm talking about you today. And the river, wherever the river flowed, things came alive. And I love this because then John sees this as well, and he's saying this: there is a river flowing, you know, like the song we sing, "From the heart of God, the flood of heaven." You know, it's literally flowing from the throne of God. It's flowing from the heart of God. That's why this river has so much supernatural power in it. "And the trees that suck up that water actually produce healing leaves. Their leaves are like healing leaves, and for medicine." This is wild, man. I'm telling you, remember, I'm talking today. The psalmist said there is a river that makes glad, whose streams make glad the city of God. Actually, wherever this river flows, gladness comes. Happy people get touched. Yes. People, their gloom turns into rejoicing. How many of y'all know Jesus? The Bible said he turned my mourning into dancing. Sorrow is there for a night, but it's only a one-night stay because joy comes in the morning. Why? Because the river. Are you with me? He says, you'll give them drink from your river of pleasures. It's what we talked about. Now, not only are you the one experiencing this ever-satisfying relationship with Jesus, but now you are a source for other people to taste and see that the Lord is good. Am I talking to anybody today? This is the river that's inside of you. Now, check this out. This is the crazy part. Ezekiel tells us, John tells us that the river flows from the temple, from the sanctuary, from the throne of God. Guess where that is today? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? That you are actually an access point for heaven to come to earth? That you are actually the portals from heaven to earth? You are actually the conduit through which heaven comes through earth, and that river starts pouring life out and goes directly into the Dead Sea. Notice it didn't go to any other place. It went straight into the Dead Sea because that's where the living waters like to go. Come on, somebody. He says, it's not about just us light going into light. It's about light going into darkness. It's about living water going into Dead Sea and bringing life everywhere. And all of a sudden, depression lifts off people and sickness and disease. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went around doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil because God was with him. We are the portals of God on the earth. God has taken his throne and taken his kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom is God. Kingdom of God is within you. They're not going to say, there it is, there it is. No, no, no. It's inside of you, and the throne of God is in you. And that means if that's true, then Ezekiel 47 saw a picture of what's living inside of you. And Revelation 22 is actually something that's mobile inside of you. You are portable throne carriers. You are portable spouts of water. You are portable fountains. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you who you are today. That you actually can be a life-giving source to people all around you. But how many of y'all know this is what the enemy does? He tries to clog us up with depression, clog us up with complaining, and in way, way, way too much introspection. How many of y'all know sometimes we need to stop looking at ourselves and start looking at Jesus? Be like, well, the Bible said, search me and know my anxious ways. Well, do it, but don't spend your entire life on it, man. Look at Jesus, because he's the one. And sometimes we get so over introspective that we actually forget who God says we were, and then we're mulling it over. Before long, the well is clogged up and the river has a dam, and we're just, and we don't like life anymore. And complaining happens and all this stuff. And it's just like, might as well just take some mud and throw it down the well. And complaining and bitterness and selfishness and pride and unrighteous anger and even just fears and all these things. When we start giving into these things, we actually are allowing the enemies to come and stop up our well. And when it stops up our well, it also subsequently builds a dam for the river. And now you just stopped up and ain't nothing happening, man. But you're meant to actually live a rich and satisfying life and release rivers of living water everywhere you go. That's what you were meant to do. God actually is looking at you going like, oh, there's my well and there's my spouts. I'm a little teapot. No. If I would leave you with a few things like how to keep this river flowing, I will give you some practical things. And I want to say again that you'll never be more alive than when the well within you is springing up and the rivers are flowing out of you. I want to tell you that if I will give you like practical keys before we land this thing, is praying in tongues is one of the most amazing gifts that the Lord has given the church. How many of y'all know that when you pray in tongues, and this gift is for everybody, it's not like for the select few, the weird people in the corner. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we think like that, be like, that's for that weird intercessor lady that they do weird things over there. I don't know what that is. Why are they sounding like they're starting a lawnmower? I don't know what's going on. Why are they doing that? That's weird. You want the well within you to be activated, you pray in tongues. It's the Holy Spirit actually giving you perfect prayers to pray exactly what you need to pray. I don't know about you, but when I feel clogged up, when I feel like downtrodden, I feel discouraged, I feel like about life, like I don't even know what to pray sometimes. Like some of the prayers that I pray, the Lord has to like really filter through some of that stuff. You're like, okay, that's good. We'll keep that. No, you didn't really mean that, son. You know, like, But when you pray in tongues, you're actually allowing the well within you, and it's like bump, bump, boom. It's like old that old faithful, man. Come on. It just bursts forth inside of you because the Holy Ghost knows exactly what you need, and he'll pray the perfect will of God for you. The Bible tells us that when you speak in a tongue, you edify yourself. You're actually building yourself up. I love this verse. Romans 12:11 actually says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And this is what the word for fervor literally means: to be boiling. It means, in one translation, the Voice translation, which is a more modern translation, it literally means for it to be bubbling up and boiling over. Bubbling up and boiling over. I mean, who said the living water had to be cold? I don't know where it said that. It didn't say that. Jesus said it needs to be hot or it needs to be cold. The hot is for the healing. The cold is for the refreshing. I can go into that for a second, but this is the deal. When he's speaking to Laodicea, the reason why he was telling them the lukewarmness it's not happening with me, because he was giving them a word picture for their region. There was another city called Hierapolis. There was another city called Colossae. In Hierapolis, there was healing, warm springs of water. So people would go there and actually get healing from their waters. And then on the other side, there was Colossae, which where we get the book of Colossians, and they had fresh, cold springs of water, and people would go there and get the refreshing. And how many of y'all realize there's rivers that connected? And by the time I got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. And Jesus was taking a picture from their land saying, yeah, you know how you don't like that water? I don't like that either. And when you act like that, I have to spit you out of my mouth. This is Jesus. This is literally why he's saying what he's saying. And he likes it hot or he likes it cold. When we stir ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, we're boiling up and bubbling over, burning away all the junk that's trying to limit us. Like, I don't even know how to forgive this person right now. Oh, I forgive him, Lord. Oh, did I mean that? I don't know. Let me pray in tongues. And it, boom! It's like, it just pushes it right through, man. It's perfect will of God. The other thing, if I would tell you a practical thing to keep this well flowing, this is stuff you got to do every day. I'm not saying this like, oh, well, I had one bad incident like last Saturday. Be like, yeah, right, dude. You have something. You have an opportunity every single day to get clogged up. You know what I'm talking about? It's just life, man. It's just life. And one thing I would say repentance and forgiveness. I would say if you keep a repentant heart and a forgiving heart, you actually keep the well within you springing up and the rivers flowing. I'm telling you, the one like clear, very sure way to clog up your spiritual life is to be bitter towards someone and to not repent for things you've done. It will jack you up real quick. I'm talking about real quick. And I'm not going to go to the toilet for this analogy, but I'm going to go to the shower. Like, I'm being real good. My pastor's going to be really proud of me when they come back. I didn't even go there. You know, when the shower, sometimes you get the hair globs and all of a sudden you're like, why is my shower turning into a bath right now? Because there's so much hair in that drain. Don't even look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I know you don't want to shout amen or elbow your... And then you got to get that Drano, and then the Drano, you can't even take a shower for like an hour, or like you got to let it put hot water. It's just frustrating. And you're like, oh, that didn't work. Now I got to hire a plumber and then get that big snake to go down. It's just. And that's what unforgiveness and that's what unrepentance is like. It clogs you up like real quick, real quick. And all you have to do is just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I actually, you know what, right now I forgive. I'm going to actually become wrong so they can become right, because that's what Jesus did for me at the cross. I'm like, oh, humble pie tastes good. And I'm going to forgive and I'm going to repent. You know, it's like what they used to teach in the schools about drugs. They'd be like, stop, or not drugs. I was thinking about Dare to Keep Kids Off Drugs. You guys remember that? I'm talking about when the firemen would come in and teach the kids, stop, drop, and repent. Not stop, drop, and roll. I just stop, drop, and repent. You just like, if you find something and you did something, just be real, man. Just deal with it. Be like, oh, I did this. Lord, I repent. Forgive me, Lord. It's relationship. That's what relationships do, man. I mean, I'm going to land on this. This is what I feel. More than anything, if I would tell you how to keep the well within you flowing and the river within you flowing, I would say do the works of Jesus. Because I would venture to guess that most of us in this room, we get this thing where we think we have to be more qualified, or we think we have to feel it in order. And when I say do the works of Jesus, I mean actually reaching out to somebody in some form or way, where you're buying someone's meal, or you're praying for someone in the streets, or you're prophesying, you're saying, oh my gosh, what happened to your knee? Let's pray for you and for healing. Whatever it is, you're actually serving somebody else, whatever capacity that is. You're serving something, doing the works of Christ. I would say this, that most of us get clogged up because of something that's going on inside of us, and we go like, man, I don't really feel it right now. I didn't feel the anointing. I don't have this keyboard playing behind me. You know what I'm saying? I can't like pray in tongues for 30 seconds before I'm, you know, in Starbucks. That's just weird. Unless you're under your breath, you're like, you know, can you imagine you're sitting in Starbucks and you hear someone behind you? And then like, they're like, tap, tap, tap. Hey, can I share something with you? You're like, I mean, maybe, I don't know, man. Now I'm just messing with you, but this is reality. I feel like some of us actually sometimes feel so disqualified that we don't even want to do any of this stuff. We feel so beaten up by life that we don't want to do it. We feel like we can't because we don't know how. We need to go to like 6 more seminars. Like Jeremy needs to lay hands on me like 17 more times in the fire and glory outpouring. I don't feel like I have enough fire in the glory. Like whatever it is, we make excuses and we stay stopped up and we let the dam just stop us up. But this is what I've been finding out, that when I just do it anyway, I find out that the river is actually stronger than the resistance, and it plows through all of it. And I feel so much more alive because I just did the works of Christ anyway. I just paid for someone, or I just served someone in this way. I just laid hands on this way. I shared this word that I felt the Lord had for me, or for me to share to them. All this stuff. And this is what I want to encourage you. I would say, if I would tell you the number one thing to keep this thing flowing, is don't get off the mission. Don't get on the sidelines. We get benched by so many things. Don't get off the sidelines, man. God believes in you. He actually believes you're a well, and he's satisfying. He actually believes you're a portal that releases heaven on the earth. Oh, how many of y'all believe this stuff this morning, man? Come on, let's thank the Lord. Oh, just stand with me. Stand with me. I wanna pray with you guys. Just open your hands and just receive for a second. Just, God, I thank you for it. That's why he said, come to me and drink. He didn't say, come to me and think. Sometimes we overthink. We overthink so many things, man. And it's like we just put an umbrella up for the rain, man. It's like, stop thinking. Just drink. Open your mouth, man. And it's what I'm saying is that just means that we just had to be like children and just say, oh, everything you have for me. Holy Ghost, we just thank you for your rain. We thank you for the flood tide of your presence. Lord, I thank you for the rivers of living water and the well within us. And God, I thank you that you wouldn't have me speak this word unless there was some stuff that we had to deal with today. And I really believe there's people in this room that have been dealing with this clogging thing, this feeling stopped up on the inside and not even feeling like qualified enough to release a river. God, I thank you that you would loose the rivers and unstop the wells all over this room right now in the name of Jesus. God, I speak to every clogged well and I speak to every dammed river, and I command that to be broken in Jesus' name, and there be a breaking forth, there be a gushing forth in this place today. God, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your kindness towards us. God, I thank you that you're breaking that thing that causes us to be so introspective that we actually become selfish. And God, I thank you that we lift our eyes today to Jesus, oh, the source of life and the source of love. And God, I thank you that even in that moment, in that lifting of our eyes, there's something that shifts in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever desires, let them take of the gift of the water of life for free. Thank you, Lord, for the thirsty ones today. Thank you for the thirsty ones today. Oh, we receive of it this morning. Come on, don't check out, because I know like usually at the end we're like, okay, I think he's done. We're gonna like go get some food and like, I'm kind of tired right now. Just engage with the water right now. Come on, man, don't let offense cap. I feel like there's even some people that didn't like what I just said about this stuff. And don't let the offense cap it, man. Don't let the offense cap it. There's so much right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it. God, I thank you that even that you blow through even religious mindsets of what we thought was, oh, that's how Jesus is supposed to do it. Like, God, I thank you that you just bust through all the mindsets of what we thought. And God, that you just kick us up to a whole nother level this morning in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. Come on, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray for a second. Let's just activate the rivers within us. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost just yet, ask God for it. Ask God. Say, God, Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. Just ask God. God, you said you would give it to me. So, Lord, I ask for the gift of tongues. Holy Ghost. Come on, let's just raise our voices for a second and let that river flow. If you pray in tongues and you don't want to pray in tongues, do it anyway. God, I thank you for the river and the wells springing up within us this morning. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Come on, just like 20 more seconds. Just let the well spring up, oh well. We speak to it. We sing to it. Oh, makulevre bushtaka. Come on. This is the stuff that surpasses our understanding because it's spiritual things. Oh, we thank you for perfect prayers, Holy Ghost. We honor you today. We honor you today, Lord. Oh. This is what I was feeling. Can you guys give me just a couple more minutes? I just feel like the Lord was actually healing people's spines. I feel like there was people that needed healing in spines today. And if that's you, I want you to just put your hands up like this because there's some kind of thing that happened. There's one there, and there's a lot. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is what we're going to do because we have a river of life flowing out of us and makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. We are going to activate the river, not just by praying in tongues, but we're actually going to just do the works of Christ. So keep your hand up if you need healing in your spine so that way we know. And I want you, if you're near them, I want you to put a hand on them. And this is going to be quick, okay? This isn't going to be like, let me pray like 30 scriptures and every single thing I've ever known about healing right now. This is just let the river flow. If you just put your hand on them, the river will start flowing. There's spines that are being healed and spines that are being adjusted. We're just going to take a couple more minutes for this because I want to activate the river that's within you. Come on, if there's someone around you, just put your hand on them or stretch out to them. And now just take 30 seconds and command their spines to be healed. Command the discs to be recreated. I see discs that were like destroyed and old rotten or whatever it is. And God, I thank you in Jesus' name for discs to be healed right now. We command them to be healed. And I thank you for creative miracles that even metal would dissolve out of people's bodies in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the angel of the Lord over there on Michael Offenbecker. God, I thank you in Jesus' name for the angel of the Lord touching his back right now. Let it flow right there, right where Shane has his hand. I thank you for that anointing flowing right now. Let the fire of God come. And we thank you that hot, bubbling up, boiling over water of life. Thank you, Lord. 15 more seconds and just thank Jesus for his healing power. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow. We activate the rivers of living water. Wherever the river flows, things have to come alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now just ask them. Ask them to do something they couldn't do before. Ask them, you know, what's going on. Ask them what they're feeling. Just take a couple seconds to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if they can do something that they couldn't do before, or they're actually 80% or better, 80% better or even more, I want you to wave your hand like this, because we want to see what God's doing. Come on, there's one right there, one there, right there. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on, man, this is the river flowing and releasing life. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. If they need some more, give them some more. Just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, all around the room, if you're not praying for somebody, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the well that's within me and the rivers that flow out of me. Right now, in Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness and I forgive all people and I commit to walk in love. And in Jesus' name, I thank you for breaking the barriers. I am a source of life because you live in me. and you flow out of me. Everywhere I go, life is released. Everywhere I go, healing is released. And everywhere I go, blessing is released. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Prayer teams, please come forward. Altar ministries and encouragement teams, all that, please come forward. If you need prayer for anything, then please come here. If there's any more things that you need ministry for, then please come to the front. Otherwise, God bless you. Go be the well and the river. Amen.